Welcome to Inside the Castle, the podcast that goes behind castle doors to have real conversations with real people about solving the nation's toughest challenges.
I'm one of your hosts today, Aaron Snyder.
And I'm Angie Fryerman.
Today we're joined by the 55th Chief of Engineers, Lieutenant General Scott Spellman. We've had General Spellman on the show a couple of times in the past, and I think his episodes have been a favorite for our listeners, right, Angie?
Yeah, they have.
Wow.
Yeah, and I don't think the chief knows this, but normally I think we see about 1,000 downloads for an episode that you're on. So you are our superstar guest, that is for sure.
You guys are really sucking up to me now. Okay.
I know, but I don't know now that, you know, the focus of this episode is a little bit about the future and a little bit about your tenure, obviously, as the chief. I also heard that, you know, you might be a little bit tired because you've been doing a little bit of jet setting here lately. Thank you for showing up and breeding bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for us, but we're really excited to have you back on the show.
You know, Aaron, Angie, first of all, thanks for doing this. Yeah, we just got back from a great visit to our partners in Israel. A lot of work going on there, and you can imagine the associated challenges with our work, just given what's going on in current events. Made our way home and made a brief stop in North Macedonia, where the 15th Engineer Battalion is doing a lot of exercise-related construction to get ready for a massive UCOM exercise next year. But it was great seeing our soldiers doing what they do best out in the field. But no, thanks, Angie and Aaron, for having me back on the program. It's always hard to get a spot on this one, so thank you for fitting me in.
Yeah, like Aaron said, you're one of our top rated episodes, so we're always happy to have you on. I want to talk briefly about just the significant number of natural disasters and the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse, and really just the extra workload that we've had, just a number of things that's going on. And how do you stay motivated and resilient during these challenging times?
No, Angie, thanks. And I don't think it's just me. I think it's everybody in the Corps. I would just say two things. First of all, the challenge itself motivates you. And so I was talking to some of the professional salvers from the United States Navy who do this heavy salvage work for a living, for a career. Like, they take submarines off the ocean floor when there's a challenge. And so when I started talking to them about the Francis Scott Key Bridge, we're talking about cost, we're talking about schedule and safety, I said, you all have done this. Can you just get us in the ballpark? And all of them looked at me and said to a person, General, no one has done this before, right? A 1,200-foot bridge that's about 20,000 tons of steel and 30,000 tons of concrete pavement at the bottom of a 50-foot federal navigation channel. Not been done. So I would just say that the challenge itself, doing something that no one's done before, motivates you. And then certainly the impact of our work on people. When you go back to March 26th, since we're talking Francis Scott Key, when this a terrible accident occurred with the vessel Dolly hitting Pier 17 of the bridge and that collapse, just think about it. Within a few seconds, 5,000 people that work at the Port of Baltimore are out of work and are going to be out of work until we can get that navigation channel back open again. So, you know, the challenge itself and the impact it's having on people and our ability to help in a situation like this, I just say the motivation is baked right in.
Yeah, I think that's a great perspective of that. And I wanted to talk about, you know, obviously we also have dealt with COVID during your tenure. So you've had a heck of a tenure, frankly, like obviously of COVID issues, all of the emergency hospitals. I think the last time we talked with you, we had just got done setting a bunch of those up. Then you also now you've got this bridge collapse. We've also had a bunch of natural disasters. On the funding front, we've got a ton of supplemental work coming in, you know, the bipartisan infrastructure law. I wanted to see, with all of these different challenges, some good, some bad, what is your perspective of the Corps' performance during these times?
You know, Aaron, I think this is where our people and the Corps, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers as an agency, is at its best. So just discussed Francis Scott Key. You mentioned COVID. I'm going next week to visit our team still working the Maui wildfire response. We're on day like 303 of that. And just think about it. These are cases where the administration and Congress over the years have given us authority. They've given us funding. We certainly have people and all the talent that we need. And that allows us just to move very, very fast. And the American public notices it. So I'll just jump back to Francis Scott Key for a moment. Governor Moore in the early days of this, the experts within the state and other partners that he deals with were telling him, Governor, this is probably 8, 9, possibly a 12-month recovery operation. You got to be prepared for the port and all those 5,000 people. Got to find out a way to take care of those folks for about a year. And then we started working within our own teams with, as I mentioned, the Navy and their contractors. And we went back to him pretty early on, within about 9 days after having 52 divers in the water, taking a detailed look at this wreckage. Governor, this is probably not 12 months. This is more like 2 months. We have what we need. We will figure out the funding over the next several weeks, but we have the tools. And we made a commitment that we would have this channel reopened by the end of May. And it was actually mid-May when we had a 400 foot by 50 foot deep channel opened. And that allowed every vessel that calls on the Port of Baltimore to get back in there. And so the port's open, right? But you just think about that. As I said, I'll go back to where I started. It's where we're at our best when we have the tools and we have the authorities and we certainly have the people that know how to do this work and they know how to do it safely. Again, very proud of our team. Not just up in Baltimore, certainly in Maui, and all the work that we did, countless hurricanes over the past 4 years. Every chief gets to deal with hurricanes and tornadoes, but very, very proud of our team out there that respond and help these communities get back up on their feet quickly.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's always great to be working in the Corps of Engineers and know that we're surrounded by great people, great workers that can really just get right in there and get the job done. And, you know, we're talking about increased workload, natural disasters, and other things. That's a lot on anybody, and the Corps' workload continues to get heavier. I know one thing with this increased workload, Corps leadership at all levels is putting more focus on ensuring our staff has a healthy work-life balance. And so, as you know, a healthy work-life balance is key to not getting burned out and staying motivated on the mission over the long haul. And so as the Chief of Engineers, you have a pulse on every aspect of the Corps of Engineers, which I'm sure is very demanding at times. And you have long flights like you've had recently. So how do you balance the demands of the job and your personal life and your relationships?
Yeah, I'll just be frank. There's not a lot of balance. And I think when you say balance, people think, oh, you're spending X amount of time at work and maybe a similar amount of time with your family. And that's what balance means. It's not that at all. When people first started talking to me about, hey, you know, I was Colonel Spellman at the time. Do you want to compete for general officership? And I remember some folks who were general officers asking me very frankly, is this something you really want to do? I'm glad we had this conversation with those mentors of mine, because it's very true at the general officer level. And it's not just general officer level. It's all of you. It's the people in the Corps at every level. We really are servant leaders for the American people. And for me, I found there's not a lot of balance when you look at time. I mean, the folks up here on the G Street side of the headquarters, I spend more time with my work family than I do my own family. But I think for me, what I have tried to do was find the time that I do get with my children. I have a grandson now that is just learning to walk. He just turned one. And the time I do have with my wife, Charisse, I try to make that quality time. I really do. When we get a 4-day pass or when we get a week of leave, when we can squeeze that in, I really do work hard to shut the phone off or put the phone away to make sure that it's quality time that we do have together. And I think it's just making those moments count when you can get them.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point and something good for our listeners to remember, too, is, you know, there's going to be times for us, hopefully for our staff, that, you know, peaks and valleys and, you know, hopefully it's not on all the time like you've been going through. But really to remember that when you get that time with your family to take advantage of it, because it's super important. You know, I think we've seen, you know, the challenges and some burnout from some staff. And it's just really important to always take care of yourself. So I want to make sure our listeners always remember that as well.
Eric, can I just add one more comment to this? And I think that a lot of times there's just little things that leaders at every level can do. And some of maybe our listeners have heard me say this before. I try to stop sending email at about 18:30 every night, right? I do. And then I try not to send email on the weekends. Like I catch up on email on the weekends, but I'll put it like in a drafts folder. And if it can wait till Monday morning, it'll wait till Monday morning. And I'll send it all out because I do. I want people when they're like me, when you're home and you're with your children or you're with your spouse, I want you doing that and not reading email. Now, that's not every day, right? When we're dealing with Maui or we're dealing with Francis Scott Key, we have people going 24/7 and that has to continue, right? Because there are lives and then livelihoods at stake. But that's not every day. So I think there are a lot of little things like that we can do to help help each other out.
Yeah, most definitely. So I want to pivot a little bit and talk a little bit about your transition out of the role of Chief of Engineers this fall. I want to reflect a little bit on your time actually as a chief. And when we first start, and I think when a lot of we get a new chief, they normally set strategic direction, priority areas to the workforce. I'm curious, how well have we performed and how many of your priorities have we achieved during your tenure?
I am biased, but I think we've done very well. So General McConville was the chief of staff of the Army when I was coming on as the 55th chief of engineers. And he really asked two things of me. If you knew General McConville, he was big on winning, right? That was his thing. The Army doesn't show up to try hard. The Army shows up to win. So he said, Scott, I would like you to define winning for the Army Corps of Engineers and then come back and tell me how you're going to achieve it. And so we sat down and we thought about it and we wanted something that spoke to everyone in the Corps. So we said, our definition of winning in the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is we are going to safely deliver quality projects on time and within budget, something that simple. And we were going to go about it with four priorities. And those were people, readiness, partnerships, and innovation. And Aaron, I'm just going to hit each one of these very, very quickly. People. When I talk people, I was talking hiring. I knew we did not have the workforce on the books in our headquarters, out in the districts to get this massive program in the ground. So we had to get quicker and we had to get our numbers up. I also, when I talk to people, I'm talking about leader development. We spent a lot of time getting the next round of civilian senior leaders in place across the Corps, specifically at the SES level. And then my final point when I'm talking people is safety. I think we've done well there. I mean, we are the highest workforce now in the Army Corps, highest workforce we've had in two decades, right? We have been staffed for a program what had been a $20 to $22 billion construction program when you look across all our different portfolios. We're not $22 billion today, we're $92 billion. And everyone's heard those numbers before. And we're working hard on a lot of personnel programs where we can just hire faster and we're getting a lot of help. I'm very proud of the work that we've done on, I think I've done 15 or 16 SES induction ceremonies and we've got a couple more planned. So GS-15 is stepping up to come into the senior executive service. That $92 billion program is not going to get in the ground overnight, right? We have to focus on our long-term executive leadership to do this, and extremely proud of the safety journey that we've been on. Safety, to me, I've learned over the past 4 years that safety is not a destination. It is just a journey that you're on each and every day, and there's a lot of cultural aspects to it that I think we've made a lot of great progress. And then the second party was readiness, right? When the Army or the nation needs us, we have to be able to move fast, and we've talked about examples where we've done that. Francis Scott Key, I'll go to that one again, just because it's so recent. The bridge came down at about 1:36 a.m. on the 26th of March, and I'm so proud of Baltimore. Within a couple of hours of that bridge coming down, they had cranes and tools and work barges moving from the port of New York, New Jersey, all the way from Galveston, Texas, into that port, getting them on the move because we knew we had to work fast. That readiness doesn't happen. They had the right interagency agreements in place. They had the right contracting tools in place to do that. And that, to me, is what readiness is all about and just a great example of it. Certainly, partnerships was a third party for me. I'm very proud of the partnering playbook and the partnering guidelines that we disseminated to all the districts. I've been telling everyone, I know we kind of had a consistency problem amongst our 42 districts on the topic of partnering. And some that do it very well, some that not as well. I think we've leveled that out. We're not where we want to be. I think that's another journey, but I think we've improved a lot on the business of partnering. And then finally, innovation, right? We don't do anything without a lot of innovation. There are just a number of challenges, and many of our listeners have heard me say this before, where we don't have good engineering solutions for, or we don't have good construction solutions for. We've got to get ourselves in the lab, right, and do the sound research and development so we can develop those solutions. And we've tried to, over the past 4 years, elevate R&D as a program, just like we have a civil works program and a military program. We attempted to put as much emphasis on the R&D side of things as well. I have a great partner in Mr. Connor, and together we've been able to increase the budget side of our R&D program fivefold over the past couple of years. So we're seeing more investment in that. So no, we're not there. Again, many of these are journeys, but I feel very, very good about the progress that we've made as a team on all four of those priority efforts. And there's always more work to do.
So as you look back at your career at the Corps, you've been to a large majority of the Corps' project portfolios. You've had the opportunity to visit districts, MSCs, leaderships, and you've met with a wide variety of our partners, really at all levels. So you have this huge understanding of the Corps, and I'm just curious as to what are your most significant lessons learned as you get ready to depart USACE?
I think the if I had to pick one, this is really tough. This is really, really tough because there's several, but let me just pick one because I think this applies whether it's in R&D or if it's in our military program or within civil works. I've learned the importance of speaking in plain English. And how important that is, whether we're talking to the administration, whether we're talking to Congress, whether we're talking to the American public. We all admit it. We have our own vocabulary. We have our own systems. We have our own acronyms. And wow, sometimes we have got to fight to just put all that stuff aside. And how would we explain this very, very complicated project or problem set to like my mom back in Bloomingdale, New Jersey? What word, nouns and verbs would I use? But the incredible value when we just step back for a moment and try to communicate better with those that resource us and help us make decisions and those that we work for, the importance of communicating in plain English and then certainly telling our story better. I think we've made a lot of progress, but it's another one of those journeys. There's always more work to do. I've learned that the ability to do that is incredibly valuable.
Well, that's really, really interesting. And since we have you picking one, I might as well just ask you, if you could pick your most memorable day as the chief, what day would that be?
Well, there's too many of them. Okay, I'm going to give you a spectrum. I'm sorry. I'm going to give you 2 days that really made my heart proud to be the chief of engineers. It was on the 2nd of May of this year. The Army has a recruiting challenge, right? We're part of that. We have a deployable battalion, the 249th Prime Power Battalion, and we've been having recruiting challenges for that very, very important asset as well. And so about 2.5 years ago, we made the decision in this room that I'm sitting in, we are going to open this up to a sessions level branch. And let me put that in plain English. Over the years, we have only taken soldiers that are of the rank of sergeant or above into that battalion. We were just not meeting our numbers. So we made the decision, let's open this up to entry level soldiers. The amount of pushback that we received from in this headquarters, from the schoolhouse, from our branch was immense. Spellman, you will never find soldiers that can meet that academic aptitude to go out to that battalion. You'll never find soldiers that meet that level of maturity to go out and do this very, very important mission. I am proud to report on the 2nd May of this year, some of our earliest graduates, Private First Class Dolan Beals and Private First Class Maxim Walker, not only passed their training out at the Prime Power School, they were the honor graduates. I sent them both a personal letter of how proud I was. And it just proves something I've learned all about in my whole career that, wow, if you really want to get something done, challenge an American soldier and they will prove you wrong every time. Very, very proud of them. The second day was on, I'm sorry, I'll go quick. Let's go to the other inspection. It was on the 5th of April this year. It was really neat. I got to ride on Air Force One, Marine One with Governor Moore on our way up to brief him at the Francis Scott Key Bridge site. As we were taking him through a series of charts and infographics on where we were, things were going well. He looked at me and said, no notes in front of me, said, you know, the Army Corps of Engineers has the best engineers in the world, not just in the country, but in the world. I can't tell you how incredibly proud I am of your agency. And I thanked the president and I said, well, we really appreciate your vote of confidence. Now we just got to deliver for you on this project. That was a really special moment, and it was something he repeated in his press conference on national TV just a few hours later up there. And I share that story everywhere I go because not everyone has seen that press conference and heard those words, but that's pretty high praise coming from the senior executive in the U.S. government. A very, very proud day. I think the Corps deserved those words.
That is awesome to hear, and yes, I think all of the hard work that everybody's been doing, that is great to hear. Sir, it's been a pleasure talking with you as always, and we're nearing the end of our time together. So I'm just curious if you have any parting advice for all of the Corps leadership and even Corps staff.
Yeah, I would say this just very briefly. Time goes by so fast. It seems like yesterday to me, and I mean this in all sincerity, it seems like yesterday I was just getting started in this role. And this is not unique to me. It applies to everyone that may be listening. The Army puts us in these leadership positions only for so long. Time goes by very fast. You have to make every day count. And that would be my parting advice to anyone coming to the Corps or currently serving with us. Make every day count.
I think that's definitely good advice, sir. And it actually makes me think of, you know, my daughter today. I was telling her I'm doing this podcast with the chief, and she's like, and I'm like, he's a general. And she was very interested in this. And she was looking at her, and she's like, she's growing up so fast. She's 9 now. And she did have one question for you. She wanted me to ask you if you've ever jumped out of an airplane.
Yes.
I will be very happy to tell her that. And she will be very excited that you've jumped out of an airplane. And my other question for you is actually one for me. I wanted to know, what is your favorite federal loan program?
Oh, definitely SWIFT-P. By far, SWIFT-P. There's so many of them out there to choose from. But if I had to rank order them, it wouldn't even be close, Aaron. It would be definitely SWIFT-P, the Corps Water Infrastructure Financing Program.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. So now, flipping to you and your personal life, really looking forward, what does the future hold for you and what's next?
Yeah, I that's a great question. I think initially I'm hopeful for a good night's sleep is in there, and wake up and we'll figure out what comes next. I think certainly initially I'd like to spend some more time with my family. I have a grandson now that's 1 year old and just learned to walk last weekend. So we'd like to spend a little bit more time with my grandson, Shepherd. Certainly I want to do a little bit of traveling, not work related travel with my wife, Charisse. And then hopefully in the course of travel, we can catch up with friends and family across our great country, and some that I have not had the opportunity to spend as much time as I would like to, because I've been doing this for the past 38 years. So hopefully sometimes with friends and family, and then hopefully get back to work in some capacity and doing what I'm doing today, building projects that matter for people across our country. That's what I would like to do.
That sounds like a great future. And I know I just want to thank you, not only from our podcast team, but really from the entire Corps of Engineers. I think you have been a fantastic leader. You've been very inspirational, and you really have cared about people. So I think seeing that from a leader is really all we can ask for. And we've just all been very impressed with you and really appreciate you having you on the show again. So thank you, General Spellman, for joining us today for this edition of Inside the Castle. We appreciate you and your insights. Until next time, be safe, be innovative, and be all you can be. That's a wrap.
That's awesome. A wrap. We did it.
Thanks for joining us for this Inside the Castle podcast. To provide your feedback, email us at cw.infrastructure.team@usace.army.mil. Stay tuned for additional Inside the Castle podcasts as we explore life inside the Corps and revolutionize civil works together.